The Senate is back at work for the third week now on its version of the National Defense Authorization Act. Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman John McCain wants to get the bill moving, but debate over a few key amendments could slow things down. David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call, writes the Hawkins Here blog at rollcall.com and is watching the NDAA. The amendment process appears to be the thing that could potentially make this thing go awry. Am I saying that correctly, David?
That's right. After 2 weeks of sort of circling one another and getting more and more bogged down, this sort of seems to be kind of something of a make or break week for the NDAA, which many listeners will remember or will know is essentially the only federal department authorization legislation that gets enacted year after year without fail. I believe the last time it didn't happen was in 1961, so more than 50 years ago. And then in the middle of the Cold War, all the lawmakers said, they looked into the future and said, no matter how dysfunctional Congress gets in the next half century, we're going to get this bill done. And they have. Sometimes it's been on the last day of the year, but they've always gotten it done. So it's way too early to predict that won't happen this year. But this is a tough year. It's one of the few because it is one of the must pass bills, or considered a bill that's sooner or later going to happen. Everybody wants a piece of it. Everybody wants to have their favorite amendment catch a ride. And John McCain, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee now, and Mitch McConnell are trying to figure out just how much freight this bill can carry that makes sense without it toppling over.
This terrific story that your colleague Niels Lesniewski has up on rollcall.com says it details some of these amendments, and some of these I'm not sure I understand, and I don't expect you to explain them, but it just speaks to the complexity of what's in this bill and understanding it in such a way that it can get passed. Niels writes, among the significant amendments pending are a proposal by Minority Whip Richard Durbin to bar inverted corporations from being able to get Pentagon contracts. And then he writes about a proposal from Senator McCain and the Intelligence Committee's ranking member, Dianne Feinstein, to reassert, he writes, a prohibition on the use of torture techniques in interrogations. That was pretty straightforward. The inverted corporations thing,
An inverted corporation is a company that is located, essentially moves itself to another country to avoid.
Offshore thing.
This is called offshoring or inversions. These are companies that park themselves in other places to avoid paying federal tax. And so that's a little bit of a term of art, but essentially what it means is Durbin doesn't want to let those people get defense contracts.
Okay, in that terminology, that makes sense, and I understand the context of that in the defense authorization bill. I'm looking down through the rest of Niels's report. I see a lot of things that do pertain to defense that are potential amendments. Some of them appear to be poison pills and deal killers, and some of them don't. But what I haven't seen yet, which I guess is encouraging, is a ton of stuff thrown on here that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the NDAA that sometimes finds its way onto a bill like that because it is the must-pass.
That's right, and I am trying to think back to see whether they may have actually done something parliamentarily, say that six times.
Nicely fast. Done.
Parliamentarily to prohibit such what they call non-German amendments from getting on there. I think they actually took a preliminary vote that keeps non-German amendments off. So
I seem to recall us discussing that because I did some terrible Jermaine Jackson joke in association
with it.
So we may have covered that ground.
So, but I'm not sure. But in either case, you're right. It does seem as though most of the fighting is about things that have to do with defense. Cybersecurity is defense writ large, and not domestic policy, social policy, et cetera.
So the one thing that seems to be, it seems to me that it's relevant to national security and defense, but not necessarily to the NDAA, is cybersecurity legislation that Republicans want to tack onto this, and that appears to be what might send this awry. Is that correct?
Right. That is not technically right. As you just said, not technically part of the defense authorization bill, generally goes down a different parliamentary track, but it's a part of sort of national defense in a broad scope. And this, as you say, those who are trying to keep this bill off say it's too complicated. It would be a poison pill. It would be more political weight than this bill can bear, and it should be done separately.
We'll link to Niels's terrific reporting on this at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon, David. We just have a couple of minutes left. In the time that we have, I noted something about the discussion about shutdown. You and I joked last week about the fact that shutdown is returning and we should get our dun-dun-dun music ready and all of that. I noted in the past couple of days, and particularly over the weekend, a little bit of a difference, and maybe I'm just trying to be positive about this, and I'm seeing something that's not really there. So if I'm wrong, please correct me. But it strikes me that the major difference between the shutdown talk now and the shutdown talk when it really happened a couple of years ago is my sense is that then the people who were talking about shutdown as it could happen or should happen or is likely to happen were the people, and I'm thinking primarily of House Republicans, who had, or at least thought they had, leverage in that discussion. They thought at the time, if we shut the government down, if the government shuts down, everybody will blame the administration and the Democratic Senate. Now, that's not what turned out to happen, but that's my recollection of what the perception was then. My perception of what's going on now regarding the people who were talking about shutdown is that the discussion is primarily happening among people who may perceive that they don't have as much leverage as they would like, and they're trying to gain some. Is that a reasonable observation on my part, David?
I think that's partly true. Yes, I think that is partly true. They are trying to gain some. I think that the what's very different than the 2013 shutdown, which is 2013 was a divided Congress. You have a divided Congress and a president who is a Democrat. In theory, or the Republicans thought that they could shift the blame to the president. It didn't work. This time, it's a more clear cut because it was a little bit complicated. Divided Congress. This time, the dynamic is different with a unified Republican Congress and a Democratic president. Some Republicans are saying now we've really got Obama where we want him because if he starts vetoing these bills, then we're going to. He's going to be able to bear the brunt for the shutdown. And the Obama people are saying that's not how it works. Look at what happened when Clinton was president working with a Republican Congress and there was a shutdown. The Republicans took the hit then as well. So, I mean, I think you're right, I think that we are 1 week closer than we were a week ago to some kind of standoff and that they're probably going to have to, you know, it's going to be brinkmanship and they'll probably have to go over the cliff before they pull themselves back up.
Some people never learn. I have my dun-dun-dun music ready to go, just in case.
Well, we should just